to smoke about this time of the day. And all this is keeping me to where I can't go do it. Now, I'm gonna go do it.
Well, hello there. And welcome to About This Time of Day, a Teen Mom podcast. My name is V. I am your host. And you have stumbled upon the third episode of About This Time of Day. I am honestly impressed with myself. Usually I give up on things by now and I don't continue them, but I swear to God, having like 9 people out there that's listening, that's so cool to me. I don't know. And if I can get high with you guys and dish about Teen Mom, I'm going to do it. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And while I am so excited to be continuing this podcast series, I definitely want to apologize for the slight wait that y'all had to experience for this episode. A good friend of mine got married, so I was out of state and away from my computer. So congratulations to Caitlin, her husband, and her soon-to-be baby, who I don't know if she's told a lot of people about yet, but no one listens to this podcast anyway. So today we are going to discuss Amber. Yeah, that's a big one. And I want to make a blanket statement just right now. In no way, shape, or form do I condone anything Amber Portwood has ever done or did, said, or said to somebody in an abusive way. In no way is any type of abuse permissible or excusable. I know there's a lot of drama going on right now. Well, not in this exact moment, but within the last 2 years with Amber and her life and her behavior. And it is deplorable, honestly. I listened to some of those audios. And if you haven't, you can. They're out there. If you have been in an abusive situation, I would recommend you not do that. It is very triggering. And that's how I know that what Amber has done is inexcusable. So with that said, knowing that nothing I say here will ever excuse or condone her actions or behavior, I may do some point making, kind of the way I did with Farah, like, hey, well, think of it this way, or hey, she has undiagnosed this, or whatever. But I'm not in any way trying to make that makes it okay for how she treated Gary, or that makes it okay for how she treated Andrew. That's not why we're here. That's not what I want to do. So I just want to make that blanket statement before we get ahead. I don't think we're going to see that side of Amber come out too much in the 16 and pregnant episode, but just something to keep in mind as we move forward into the Teen Mom franchise, as that's only one more episode away, which I'm so excited about because then we'll be able to use the new guitar joiner. Yay! This episode's companion is Granddaddy Perp. If you follow About This Time of Day podcast on Instagram, at ATTOD podcast on Instagram, you would have seen me post a little boomerang of this cartridge, which I was so excited about. I had been sitting on it all week, just ready to do this podcast. And I'm glad I waited because it is so good. You can hear my voice kind of cracking up right now. Excuse me. Also, I was singing a lot earlier, so I'm sure that doesn't help. But it legit tastes like purple. I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm excited to talk about Amber. So let's get into it. So Amber's episode, it opens up completely differently from what we've seen before. So far, we've seen two popular cheerleaders getting knocked up and dealing with it. When we first meet Amber, we see her in the car with her boyfriend, Gary, who she's known for 3 years, or been with for 3 years. And the first thing she says is,
a baby is coming out of my freaking dude.
That is my favorite part of that. A baby is coming out of my freaking cooch, dude. Like, okay. I'm getting to know Amber. All right. But anyway, we get a lot of information in the first few minutes of this episode. As I said, she and Gary have been together for about 3 years. Gary and Amber are living together at this time. They moved in not too long after they found out that she was pregnant. Gary is a nurse assistant or something, some kind of medical person. I have to go back and look. Yes, he's a certified nursing assistant. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, we had Ryan, who was a diesel mechanic, if I'm not mistaken. Woohoo, look at me. Ryan, who was a diesel mechanic, also an admirable trait, as I had said. Daddy Derek out of the picture. We don't know what he was doing. I'm too lazy to look it up. And then we have now Gary, who is a certified nursing assistant, which I think a lot of us kind of forget. You know, to have a job like that at his age is pretty impressive. So, you know, I got to give him props there. That's pretty cool. But one thing that is also very interesting with Gary and Amber is how they met. Long story short, Gary and Amber's older brother, Sean, went to high school together, graduated together. Gary calls the house periodically looking for Sean, but one day Amber answered. Seemingly no big deal, you would think. I don't know. Amber tells Gary, no, Sean can't come to the phone. He's out shooting squirrels. Then the Teen Mom animation would have us believe that they realized they were talking to each other on the phone. You know, Gary says Amber and Amber says Gary. And they fall in love in that moment. How can it be so easy for young people to do that? I don't know. Young people in 2009. But anyway. But you can see that this is a very different world than what we have been shown in 16 and Pregnant before this. We go on to learn more about Amber. She used to be a party girl. She used to be a rebel. We are also told that Amber never wanted a baby. She had never pictured herself living the mother life. And I think that's really important to keep in mind going forward in her story. They even have her narration go out of its way to say, I dressed differently than the cheerleaders. Which is like, okay, now we have an obvious juxtaposition from the two women we've seen already. So in a way, it may even make Amber a little bit more relatable. We see her and Gary both walking through Walmart, of all places. That's not something we've seen the other two girls do. I don't think we've actually saw them shopping or anything like that. But Walmart plays a really central role in Amber's story, her whole story. So this is important right now, you guys. We have to acknowledge its presence in this world. But we see her walking through Walmart. They're talking about how, you know, it's going to be really tight with the money, but with Gary's salary, we can afford things as long as we're careful. And we actually get to see the dreaded, oh my God, I'm running into somebody from school in Walmart. Well, actually, she's dressed pretty cute, but I'm embarrassed anytime I'm in Walmart personally. We get to see Amber have that awkward interaction with somebody that she knew from school who happened to see her there and possibly prompted by producers, I don't know, but they do start their own awkward conversation.
We went to school together.
Oh, yeah.
Did you graduate?
No, not yet.
Are you a senior?
I was a senior last year, but I'm pregnant.
I guess it happens.
Yeah. But
seeing
you.
Yeah, good to see you. Hope everything's good.
Hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Did you see the look she gave me?
Yeah, so we as viewers get a bonus of a super awkward 3 or 4 seconds hanging off the end of that conversation where they're just standing there. Haven't we all been there? Oh my fucking God. It's just like I'm cringing watching this, and something tells me this won't be the last time I cringe during this episode. Amber's first segment continues with a trip to the doctor's office with Gary and Amber's mom, all three of them together. It's kind of a nice family scene. We're not really used to seeing that all the time so far on 16 and Pregnant. So, okay, I am cautiously optimistic here with what we're dealing with. It is worth noting that Amber's mom, not thrilled that the two of them are together. She definitely thinks that Amber is way too young for Gary. But here they are in this position, so it is nice that she's able to keep it together and they're able to get along, that they can all go to the doctor and share this moment. I believe they're hearing the heartbeat, so that's always a very special moment. We hear some banter between them before the doctor comes in Gary says that they took most of the precautions when it came to having sex. Amber's mom is not having it. She turns to him right away and says, "That is not what she told me." It's a lighthearted mood, and they're all kind of laughing. Amber tells Gary, "Oh, you shut up," and it's still playful, but it's... Why would you say something like that? You're sitting in a doctor's office with your pregnant girlfriend, waiting to hear the heartbeat of your expectant child. Just own up to the fact that you don't like condoms, dude, because... I mean, they definitely said that earlier in the very first part of the episode when we first meet Amber. We need to take this time out to acknowledge, look, we chose not to use this form of protection, and this is the result. That's the point of this show, prevention. You can't sit there, Gary, and say, we did take most of the precautions, but here we are. So I'm glad everyone else kind of shut him down after that, laughing and just being like, Gary, stop. Because that was just a dumb thing to pull out in that moment, I think. The appointment goes well. The baby is healthy. They hear the heartbeat. Everything is right on track. I don't think we have been shown at this point how many weeks Amber is. But honestly, so much has been coming at me so fast with this episode so far. Maybe it might be the weed. I don't know. But I might have just missed how many weeks she is in her pregnancy. That's neither here nor there because she's healthy. Everything is looking good. The appointment ends and the doctor steps out of the room. And something kind of weird happens. Amber's mom starts to cry in the room. And Amber turns to her mom. She's like, "Are those happy tears?" And her mom doesn't really answer. She says, "I'm happy for you. You know, it's just hard to believe." That's kind of rough. You know, she's happy, I'm sure, in the sense that she wants her daughter to be happy. And if this will make her happy, then she'll be happy in that moment. But it's coming off as a pretty sad cry. She's come to this realization that it's real now. We heard the heartbeat. This isn't just something I can push on the back burner anymore. Baby's coming. And I think you see her kind of get a little overwhelmed, possibly when she didn't mean to. I don't really fault her for that. This is a really tough position for anybody to be in, you know, parent, grandparent of anybody in this teen mom kind of situation. So it sucks that that had to end on that bittersweet note, but hopefully Amber's mom will be able to move past it and be supportive of Amber throughout her pregnancy. Amber ends up having a realization of her own after she and Gary put together a $15 crib they found at a garage sale. And honestly, it looks like a nice crib. You know, you hear something like that and you're like, really? At a garage sale? But I mean, you know, once again, we're not working with Farrah and Macy anymore. That's not the world we're living in. We're in Amber's world now, where, you know, it's maybe a $15 crib is going to be a great deal. And I would definitely take advantage of something like that if I knew, you know, the crib was safe and sturdy and, you know, sound. I wouldn't have a problem with that, especially if I was, you know, just starting out, just trying to get on my feet. There's no shame in that. So very cool that they were able to find something like that just when they needed it. But she and Gary are putting this crib together. It shows them taking probably about an hour and a half to put it all together. I don't know. I'm just estimating. But you see Amber standing by the crib. She has her hands resting on the banister of the crib that's right in front of her. And she's just kind of reflecting. You know, she's standing there kind of very still. But then she quickly goes away and she goes over to Gary, who is in the bathroom, I think washing his hands from having touched the crib, which, side note, makes me wonder, are they going to wipe that crib down? That would also have to be something. If I bought a $15 crib from a garage sale, I'm wiping that bitch down, especially these days, but we will not speak of that. Really, though, wipe that shit down because your baby's going to be sleeping in that, and even if it only cost you $15, it costs barely nothing to be clean. So we'll get on that, I hope. But Amber runs into the bathroom towards Gary, who's just finishing washing his hands, and she just says, "The crib's so weird. It's so weird seeing the crib, Gary. It's just so weird seeing the crib." And I can definitely believe that's a moment where, as a soon-to-be parent, you're like, holy shit, this is real. So we had Amber's mom having that moment in the doctor's office, and now it's Amber's turn. As she's talking to Gary, you can hear her voice crack up. She does start to cry a little bit, and she leans into Gary. He gives her a hug, and he says the least reassuring thing in the world. "Yeah, you're having a baby, honey." Like, Gary, are you serious right now? I mean, I'm trying to root for you, buddy. I really am. I want to be on your side. But in that moment, Amber is so not looking for somebody to remind her that she's pregnant. Amber, in that moment, is looking for somebody to coddle her. I mean, I'm okay saying that because sometimes I want to be coddled too, especially when I'm panicking. Coddle me. I am a child. She wants to be coddled and she wants to be held, and she wants Gary to tell her, "Baby, don't even worry about it. You're going to be the best mom that's ever existed." Sitting there and telling her, "Yeah, you're going to be a mom," is not reassuring. I can see where he might think it would be. Like, yeah, obviously, you know what's going on. But I can feel her panic. I can feel that realization come over her and how it affected her. And I can just, at least, I don't know, I'm projecting, I guess, but I wouldn't. That's not something I would want to hear. Amber's first segment ends with Gary enjoying his favorite pastime, playing video games. He pulls out Guitar Hero, which at the time was still a very hot video game, and I fucking love Guitar Hero, I'm not even gonna lie. But he pulls out Guitar Hero. Amber comes out of the room, and she's like, "What is that? Where did you get that?"
"Hey, baby.
Are you freaking serious? Did you just buy that?"
"Yeah."
"How much was it?"
"It was like a couple hundred dollars."
"What's a couple hundred?"
"Five."
$500? I'm trying not to yell because when I'm recording this, it's almost 2 a.m. But... okay.
$500
is not a couple hundred. A couple means two. That's money we could be saving up for the baby.
"I got money."
"No, you don't have money."
"I'm working overtime."
"Oh my God, whatever, Gary."
"Wanna play?"
"No, I don't wanna play."
"Where you going?" "Baby, don't be mad."
Holy fucking shit. Okay. So, we have Gary who has a full-time position. He has a full-time job as a nursing assistant where he's making good money. I'm not sure what the status is of Amber and her occupation. As we know, she's not in school, but I haven't heard directly that she is working somewhere. Hopefully she is. But Gary is the main breadwinner here, and he's entitled to spend his money how he sees fit. I believe that. Unfortunately, I also believe in priorities. And as priorities do, they often outweigh one another. And in this situation, I feel like maybe the baby diaper fund is in need of the $500, just a tiny bit more than you were in need of that Guitar Hero system. And not to jump ahead, but we do find out after the commercial break, he bought a whole PlayStation system, whichever one was newest at the time. That and the Guitar Hero. I think it actually came in a bundle, if I'm not misremembering, because I also like video games. I get it, Gary, I get it. But dude, oh, you can't be spending this kind of money. And Amber, legit, I think she underreacted. Because I'll admit, this is the second take I did talking about this scene, because I flew off at the mouth in the last one. Just seeing this guy make this silly decision, it kind of got to the core of me. And so to see Amber just kind of walk away, be like, "No, Gary, I don't want to play." Good for her for keeping it between the lines. I need to maybe take a tip from her in this single moment. See what I mean? I don't condone her, but we have to give her credit where she is showing control. And this is one of those scenes, I think. When we next meet up with Amber, we are told that she is 25 weeks pregnant. We see Amber and her mother, Tanya, sitting at a diner having lunch together, just kind of chatting. And Amber leads in to, you know, Mom, I don't know if I can really trust Gary with our finances. I don't know if I should tell you this, but he blew $500 on a PS3 the other day. And you know she's happy to hear that. She asks why, kind of incredulously. And Amber says, I don't know, Mom. I really have no idea. And right away, Amber's mom, Tanya, she kind of just starts coming down on Gary. He's got bigger priorities that he has to worry about. He's got a baby coming. He can't just be spending this money without care. It's irresponsible. And it's clear that she's not happy about this. But they finish up their meal and they're leaving the restaurant. And as they're pulling out in this hot little red car that her mom has, I was like, holy shit, what the fuck is that? I'm not sure. I don't know what cars are, really. I drive a Corolla. But they pull out in this cute little red sports car. And you hear a voiceover. Do-do-do-do, the voiceover is back. You hear a voiceover of Amber saying, Mom, please don't tell Dad about the PlayStation, okay? And it sounds like it was dubbed in later. It definitely wasn't audio they picked up in the car, I don't think. So who knows if she actually asked her mom not to tell that or not. A little bit later, once she gets home, we see her and Gary sitting at the kitchen table in their little apartment, and Amber gets a phone call from her dad. And they're talking about a barbecue that Amber is holding very soon for the 4th of July holiday. Amber puts the phone on speaker so everybody can hear, you know, MTV, Gary, just everybody. And we can all hear Amber's dad ask, oh, is Gary going to be there tomorrow? I have a few choice words for him. And right away, the camera zooms in on Gary, and he looks like a little boy caught with his hand in the candy jar. He looks so fucking guilty, but also pissed off that he's getting called out on TV.
Is he there?
No, he's not here right now. He's upstairs.
Yeah, but there's more important things in life than toys.
Fashion toys.
No, I mean, you're scared out of death. I know that. And it doesn't sound like he's helping matters too much.
All right, well,
I'll talk to him privately.
Yeah, that would be good. Bye, Daddy.
So, a few things here. We hear Amber's dad specifically say at the end, oh, I'll talk to him in private, and ask in the beginning if he's there, and she says no. I really have to gawk at the audacity of Amber here to allow Gary to sit in and listen to this, because you don't know what he's going to say. He could say some like really detrimental stuff to their relationship, and it's really, you should be focusing on getting along right now, in my opinion. So there's that risk factor right there. And then you also have the possibility that, well, he's going to handle this himself as her father and as a man. Like, he's going to confront Gary, or at least that's his plan that he tells Amber. He plans to confront Gary, talk to him himself, and say these things. He doesn't want, it is not his wish to have them translated through Amber, or have them heard in a secondhand manner. And that is the situation that Amber and the MTV producers put Gary in here. So that's not great. And I think that's really shitty all around. And it's shitty to her dad too. It's, I mean, obviously he knows at the point of the show airing that, oh, wow, I was on speakerphone. That was filmed. He was right there the whole time. So that realization in itself is probably alarming to him. But having it done in the first place, can you imagine at the time, like, saying these things to your daughter, thinking that you're saying something to her only privately, and really it's being broadcast to all of MTV and Gary himself? That is not good. And the way Amber treats it really just seems like, okay, yeah, Dad, bye, whatever. Like, she doesn't even care. She doesn't even care, like, the chaos she's just created. And that is astounding to me. I don't like that at all. Let's continue and hear Gary's reaction and the ensuing argument.
and your family pisses me off for real.
What? Because they care about me?
Why'd you tell your mom about the PS3? You said you wouldn't. It makes me look like an ass.
Because you are an ass for doing it.
There's money in the bank.
No, there's not.
Like $5.
Oh, okay. Gary, I'm going to give you a C for effort here. Because what the fuck did you just say? Oh my fucking God. Don't you worry, baby girl. We got $5 in the bank. It's going to be smooth sailing from here. Don't you worry.
Money, stupid money, hate money.
Why are you so mad?
Because your mom needs to shut her mouth.
You won't say that to her face.
Well, what does she call me? An inbred piece of
If my kid was 17 and she got pregnant,
I don't care.
Well,
she can go somewhere.
I am a teenager. You have to understand. You do understand.
I do understand.
Well, then
I'm having a daughter.
It hurts me that you did that. You don't care.
About what?
About me.
So there really is a lot going on there. Obviously, the inbred piece of shit line, which is a little too specific for me to think that hasn't been directly said to Gary or relayed to Gary in some way, shape, or form. So that's fucking ridiculous if you ask me. Oh my gosh, like, what a step over the line. And then for Amber, I'm not sure, you might have to rewind and listen. But you can hear her say while Gary is speaking over her, yeah, if my daughter was 17 and got pregnant, I'd be thinking the same thing. You would be thinking that the guy that impregnated that... Oh, I can't even... I apologize. I can't even wrap my mind around it. You would be thinking that the man who impregnated your daughter was an inbred piece of shit. You're willing to say that to... the man who literally impregnated you. I just, what a thing to say. Wow. That's just another level of self-reflection, I think. I think it says a lot about how she feels about herself, as well about the situation that she's in, less so Gary. But for her to kind of side with her mom potentially on that one is alarming. But really, you know, they're both at fault here, because we have Gary then saying, well, your mom can go someplace, you know, your family can go someplace, I assume hell. I'm not sure why at that point you just don't say it. But so both of them are misbehaving here, and it's frustrating for me to watch. I just, especially that $5 line, like, yeah, that's kind of funny, but also at that point, I register you as a child. Now you are a child in my mind. And if I'm on the other side of that argument where my baby's father is telling me, oh, there's $5 in the bank, the person I am today would have to take a deep breath and turn around and walk away for at least 10 minutes. The person I was 15 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, would have freaked the fuck out and lost my absolute shit. That would have been it for me. Like I told you, I just... those priorities, and now hearing him be so disrespectful to Amber's family when truthfully they have a point. Gary should not be buying these toys. And also interesting to note that ultimately we wouldn't be in the situation right now if Amber didn't have her dad on speakerphone, which again is probably an MTV thing, but God, it just goes to show how badly reality TV can fuck you up. I mean, that kind of argument is going to shape your relationship. And if you kept your dad on speakerphone just for production satisfaction, what are you risking for the TV show? Is it worth it? Are they old enough to understand these risks that they're taking? That's what I wonder when I watch this show. That's the kind of stuff that I think about now, as someone who's watched the show and rewatched the show over and over throughout my life as I get older. And this is why I like to do it, because this is an observation I wouldn't have had 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. But watching it for you guys to, you know, get my highly sought after opinion, I like seeing my ideas evolve and also my opinions on the episodes change. Here, it's just a mishandling on all sides, I think. MTV uses this argument to segue into two separate scenes of Amber off with one of her friends, talking shit about Gary, and Gary off with one of his friends, working out, talking shit about Amber. really not much to say in this scene, except it on Amber's side, it ends with her in her old room, kind of reminiscing. And I gotta admit, it is kind of cool to see Amber's old room. She's got band posters up, different little drawings, like, you know, a teenager would have on their wall. She has a bear that has a sweater on it that says Queen, you know, the band Queen. So that's kind of cool. It really shows her personality. So it's cool to get that little glimpse into old Amber, pre-baby Amber. And that's something she even says herself, that her room makes her miss the time before she was pregnant. It's just kind of interesting to get that insight, that little tidbit. But the scene there ends with her looking at a picture of her brother, and her friend asks her, when was the last time you heard from Sean? Amber says that he's been away so long, he's never seen her with her belly, and if she had one wish, it would be that he would be able to come home in time for the birth to meet Amber's new baby. We don't know if that will happen, but obviously we're foreshadowing something here, so let's find out what it might be. The scene cuts to the next day, where it is the 4th of July and Amber and Gary are hosting a 4th of July picnic. All the family shows up and Amber's narration mentions that she really hopes the families get along and that she's a little bit nervous about how it's going to go. Amber's mom is shown to be arriving, and not long after that they show Amber's mom and Gary out on the patio grilling hamburgers. Tanya doesn't hesitate really to let Gary know what she thought about that PS3 fiasco.
Gary, priority, the family's first. The toy's gotta wait.
She had told you about the PS3. I told her that the reason I was getting it because they were making it no more. But then I went out and I worked like a million hours overtime.
I know, Gary, but baby's first. Actually, Amber and the baby's first.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Right. Right, yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, Gary. Oh my goodness. But I want just you to take a quick listen here, because for me, this music really caught my ear. It's being played as that conversation is wrapping up, and there's nothing further really happening with that particular conversation. The scene is progressing. This music is to transition from Amber's mother to Gary's mother, as we see Gary's mother start to walk up the drive into the door, into the home, or apartment. It's like kind of a condo almost. It's bigger than your average apartment. Obviously, they have like a little patio area, but nevertheless. I just want to know what you might think about this music. I'm going to let it play, and I'll just make some comments after that. So that voice you heard calling out to Gary was indeed his mother, and I don't know about you, but when I hear that music, I mean, it's kind of rock and roll-y, maybe, but to me, it translates to a circus theme, like somewhere in the realms of a minor tone of, you know, like that. That's what I'm really sensing here. And I don't like that they give Gary's family that vibe. I think that's like crazy ridiculous. And this is way, not subconscious necessarily, but definitely something I might be reaching with. But I just, you know, nothing is a mistake. This is a highly produced show. It's a well-funded show at this point. Well, not as funded then, but funded enough to where you're going to have awareness of the kind of music you're using and what that makes the viewer think of. And to me, this is a silly, kind of quirky tone, but also a minor tone, which translates very much as, well, these people are kind of crazy and they're going to mess up your life. In fact, it's not long after that we hear family of Amber say that exact thing. The barbecue continues on as Gary's mom gets herself settled. Everybody sits down and grabs themselves some food. As they're all finding their seats, Amber's mom goes out onto the patio porch area and closes the door behind her. You know, it is summertime. You want to keep the air conditioning in there. It's obvious that she doesn't want to take this opportunity to talk and get to know Gary's family. She's out on the patio with maybe four other women, I think, maybe a child as well, an unknown child, as there are so many of. And it really looks like they're all just out there bad-mouthing Gary's family.
Everybody ran outside.
That's the first time you met his mom.
I've seen her before.
You've seen her? You just seen her? My poor little Amber. What have they done to her?
She gave permission to allow her to stay in his room overnight. Amber did not allow to have boys in her house.
She even gave an extra pillow while she was ovulating.
Amber's your mom going to come in and join us?
They're all leaving, okay?
Oh.
Well, if things went weird already, this cookout certainly didn't help.
So first of all, I do apologize. There is a lot of noisy background that I could not get rid of. I did try, so I apologize. That was maybe a little bit difficult to listen to. Thanks for hanging in there if you did. But let's think about this. Let's take a step back for a second. First of all, you have got a lot of fucking nerve to sit there and badmouth people who are literally less than five feet away from you. Gary's mom is seated very close to the door. It's very possible she can hear all of these things, which is why she asks Amber, is your mom going to come join us? Which is a weird thing to kind of ask when you are already in the middle of eating. So I don't blame Amber for her response. What else was she going to say? And then also, how sick is it for whoever that other person was? Because the person with the lower voice, that was Tanya. That was Amber's mother. I don't know who the other person is that she's speaking with in relation to Amber. Some kind of family friend or aunt, perhaps. However, it doesn't excuse how fucking sick it is to be making weird jokes about how, even if it's true, this woman allowed Gary and Amber to stay in the same room while she's quote-unquote ovulating. That's disgusting. Why are you talking about that? Yes, mistakes have been made, but that's none of your fucking business. I don't know why this woman is saying this. It's very insulting to Amber, if nobody else, who is having you in her house. How dare you talk about your host like that? See, that's not cool. And I believe if she were older, not a teenager, this conversation would never happen, obviously, because they're talking specifically about how, supposedly, Gary's mom allowed the two of them to share a room overnight. I don't know. Again, I'm a very basic Teen Mom fan. I don't really look into what actually happened. I don't care enough to. Okay, I really don't. But to hear that, that's a shocking statement. To joke about it, oh, they gave her a pillow, that's disgusting. Fucking stop it. Save this conversation for when you two are hanging out on wine night or whatever the fuck you do. This is a holiday. You are at your daughter's and future baby daddy's house. You need to behave. And I just think that's really gross. I'm embarrassed for them, and it makes me feel bad for Gary's mom. I'm not a huge fan of Gary's mom personally, especially if that's true what they said. I don't fucking know. But this just seemed over the top and unnecessary. And Amber's right. If it wasn't awkward before, it certainly is now. There's obviously no effort to bridge the gap here. And I think it's unfortunate because the only person that's really going to suffer from that is going to be the baby. Thankfully, just when Amber thinks she's going to lose her cool, according to her narration, she gets a phone call incoming from her brother overseas. So she goes outside to try to get better reception and indeed gets to talk to her brother for a little bit. Her whole family kind of ends up coming out to say hello. It's really kind of a sweet scene, especially because this was relatively so much closer to 9/11. 2009, it was still kind of fresh. You know, you still hadn't hit that 10-year anniversary. So the people, I think, that lived through it were still feeling it, obviously. And the people who had families overseas were definitely still feeling it. So it's very heartwarming to see this scene come together the way it did here. From very tense and awkward to, oh, we miss you. We hope you're safe. We want you to come home. And Amber crying on the phone saying she just wishes he were here, that he's the only one missing from the cookout. This segment ends with Amber sitting on the couch and Gary farther down from her, as I believe she is still upset about the PS3 and that argument they had about, you know, Gary being an inbred son of a bitch or whatever it was that he is, I don't know. But she's sitting on the couch and Gary goes to grab her foot. She pulls it away and Gary's like, no, give me your foot. It's kind of cute, honestly. And Amber's narration goes on to say, I can never stay mad at him for too long. And she goes over and cuddles with him on the couch. And it's a sweet moment. The viewer at this point is thinking, well, that doesn't make up for the dumb shit he did, because he did do some dumb fucking shit. But look, viewers, we have a little faith in humanity restored here, I think. Gary goes, makes a phone call about returning the PS3 bundle.
Yeah, I had a question. I just found out I'm having a baby. And I purchased the Metal Gear Solid 80 gig value pack for the PS3. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering to know what your return policy is on those.
Can you believe it? This makes me so happy. This is so redemptive. I'm not sure if that's a word. It is now. So redemptive for him. I'm so happy to see him take that step and realize, even if it was from being called out on TV and realizing, oh, this might make me look bad. At this point, I don't care about the motivation, because if it equals money, unfortunately, that's going to be the main priority at this point. Gary, good for you. I am happy to see you make this step, and it's a great way to end that second segment there. Oh, you love to see it. You love to see it. In our next segment, a few different important things happen. First of all, the name of Amber's baby is revealed. Amber and Gary are shown in a library looking at different baby name books, and they're going through names. This one, no, that one, no. And then Gary says, I think I found a good one. How about Leah? And Amber, through voiceover, says, I like it. So it's possible they maybe had this already picked out and they were just filming the scene for MTV. But either way, we learn that Amber will name her new baby Leah. And spoiler alert, you guys, I'm pretty partial to that name. So we might have a new number one contender. But we will wait and see when we get there. The second most important thing that happens is the infamous Walmart engagement ring scene. Every good Teen Mom fan knows this scene. It will go down in maybe the history of reality TV just to see something, to witness this on film. We see Gary pull into a parking lot, get out of the car, and walk into the town Walmart where so many of life's events seem to take place. He walks in and goes to the jewelry counter, and we get to witness this lovely scene.
Today, yeah, I'm here to get a ring. Anything special? Or, well, yeah, I'm gonna propose. Really? Everything goes smooth. Yeah. Oh, so she likes pink sapphires. The heart one. The heart one. That's her stuff. It's got a lot of bling bling. That's for sure. $21.40. Do you know your return policy on it is 90 days with the receipt? Something goes wrong, you know. Right, you never know. Whoa.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot going on here. First of all, MTV, like, and I'm sure that's the point, but MTV has this whole scene set up to, you notice him saying, oh, she likes sapphires, and the lady's all about, oh, it's got this bling bling. And then they go right over the register, $21.50 or whatever the fuck it was. Are you joking with me right now? $21.50? Where is the bling? Even like high quality cubic zirconia costs more than that. What was he getting? And then the icing on the cake. And what's your return policy on that? Gary, are you really going to be worried about the $21 if your girl if your girl denies you? Man, I don't know. I guess it's a thought that counts. And this is also your engagement ring. I want you to spend at least $50. I need you to spend at least $50 on me, because I cannot do any less than that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Gary. Not my heart. Not at Walmart. Mm-mm. Gary walks out of the store, and then we next see him hanging out with Amber, and he says to her, hey, I want us to go on this cute little vacation night. I want us to have some time alone and time away before the baby comes. Amber's excited, so off they go. They head on out. They're going to the country for the weekend, or however many days they're going to the country. I really don't know. We see them check into a really cute little bed and breakfast, probably in Amish country, even though no one looked Amish in the video. I love little bed and breakfasts like that. I mean, as soon as this COVID-19 stuff like really calms down, it's getting a little better. Maybe I'll go this summer. I really want to go back out to a little bed and breakfast in Amish country, and I just go walking and like talking to the cows all day. It's just, I don't know, it's sweet. And I think there is an element a little bit, for me anyway, when I go to a bed and breakfast, it has to be nearly a hotel. Because if I feel like I'm sleeping in your master bedroom and you're feeding me breakfast, I'm just not gonna feel great about that. I'm the kind of person that would stand up and be like, do you need help with the dishes? Like forgetting I'm paying $200 a night to fucking stay there. Anyway, Gary and Amber have a nice little evening. You know, they are walking around. They do feed some goats, so they must have found a petting zoo somewhere near the premises. And as the sun goes down, we see them exploring the garden area of their little bed and breakfast. And Gary says, oh, you know, let's go sit down. And they find a swing to sit down on.
Is that comfy?
Yeah. And it's springy. Sit.
Oh,
Sit.
I'm about to. Hold on.
Sit.
So this to me is really endearing. Amber's already seated on the swing and she's just like, yeah, sit down. Why aren't you sitting? Sit down. And Gary can't figure out anything to say. He doesn't have a good reason. He hasn't thought this far ahead to where he has a good reason to why he is not going to sit down. And now he is thinking, shit, I need a reason about why I need to get down on one knee. So let's see how that works out for him.
Sit.
There was something I was going to ask you.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
At this point, Gary is down on one knee in front of Amber. I guess he didn't need an excuse after all.
I was wondering if you would marry me.
No, you did not. Yeah? Oh, baby. Oh, that fits me. My fingers are swollen.
I'll fit. So, I mean, I want to ask your dad before we actually, you know, get married, but I don't know if you want to marry me.
I don't know, you guys. It might just be because I came from one of my best friend's weddings this weekend, which is why this episode took so long. Sorry. I may just be feeling extra mushy. But this is a sweet scene. Like, Amber and Gary both have their fucking issues, and they're intense. We haven't really seen stability throughout this whole episode. And do I know in my gut that this, obviously, we know the future. But do I know in my gut that this is not going to work out? Yes, I do. In this moment, though, Amber's reaction is genuine. She is elated. She is happy. I get this sense that this is what she needed in that moment, however hastily thought out it may have been. It's definitely one of the few times I think that we see Amber react in a genuine way that's not shrouded in anger or shrouded in depression or shrouded in her bipolar somehow, or rather her borderline personality disorder. It's her. It's her as a little kid. It's her dream kind of coming true. She's kind of seeing a light at the end of the tunnel through being engaged. And a lot of women do. And I get that. Let's see how well this works out. So the next couple segments are honestly not too eventful. Obviously, Leah has to come sometime. And you guessed it, she does come within these next two segments here. But other than that, we only see Amber and Gary kind of telling the family, hey, we're engaged, congratulate us. Congratulate me, boys, I'm engaged. But Amber's mom, as expected, is less than thrilled. She doesn't freak out, though. There's no explosion. There's not even anger. It's more apathy and, okay, I guess I saw that coming kind of attitude. But Gary's mom freaks out. She's like, yes. And it's almost a little alarming. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that you were so excited for your son to get engaged to a 17-year-old who he got pregnant. But I mean, to each their own, and that's fine. I'm not judging. Anyway, it is not long after that that we see Amber go to a doctor's appointment where her doctor tells her, hey, you know, you're due at this time, but, you know, we really don't want to see you go into labor any later than that. We want the baby, you know, out as soon as possible so they don't get too big for you. And it sounds like a important topic. And in fact, we learn the meaning of being induced because they do tell Amber that if you're not in labor by your due date, we will have to induce you. And a definition comes up on the screen defining the word induced, but it's like if we had just let Farrah talk last episode, we would already know this. We would be a step ahead of the game. We could be telling Amber right now what induced means, but no, we can't ask these grotesque questions. It's a good thing they did have that discussion, though, because Amber's due date does pass by, and it is 5 days after her due date where she is able to get to the hospital and actually be induced to bring baby Leah into the world. Amber gets there, and everything seems okay at first, but she does complain that she's been throwing up a lot. Her doctor actually calls her out because she's got a bunch of Taco Bell wrappers on the table in front of her, and she says, well, how is it that you can be throwing up but then eat Taco Bell? And I'm like, have you never been like fucked up on a Friday night? You know, I don't know. And Amber was such a party girl. I'm sure she's used to like throwing up and eating Taco Bell, or eating Taco Bell and then throwing up. Or, well, I won't say the third option. That's too grotesque for my show. But after that, you know, things really amp up with her labor. The contractions are more frequent. She's having a bit of a more difficult time than she was when she was just throwing up. Amber does end up getting an epidural, which calms her down a lot. You can tell that she feels like she can handle it a little bit more than she could prior. So that's a good step in the right direction. They, you know, work with her. She's trying to get this baby delivered and into the world. But little Leah is so stubborn. She probably gets that from her mother. But she just does not want to come out. And about 10 and a half hours in her labor process, she says, nah, I want a C-section. They just asked her in the scene if she wanted to touch the baby. So the baby's head is exposed. It's in the birthing canal. I mean, a C-section right now? Maybe just try. And they do. They give her a chance to rest. They say, just let your body kind of do what it wants to do. After they let her rest for a second, they ask her, her doctor asks her, hey, do you think you maybe just want to give it one more try pushing this baby out? I really don't think that you need a C-section. I really believe that this delivery, it can happen in the next like hour, if that. She's really positive and really trying to encourage Amber. And I don't know if it was something in her words or if Amber was just tired of hearing her talk, because Amber's just like, okay, fine. Okay, fine. We'll deliver this baby like that. So after a few more pushes, Amber does give birth to baby Leah. Welcome to the world, Leah. She was born on November 12th, 2008. I hope you're ready for the Teen Mom baby name game, because I have a twist. I know I said that Leah is one of my favorite names, but her full name is Leah Leanne. Ugh. Her middle name sounds just like her first name. It's too close, and I like the name Leanne okay, but I don't like it as much as I like Leah. So, you know what? I'm sorry, Gary and Amber. And of course, as usual, no offense to baby Leah, because she had no control over who named her or how they named her. And this has nothing to do with what a great little girl she is, because she is wonderful. But Leah Leanne might have to go third on the list. So I believe we're standing right now at Sophia Laurent at number one, Bentley Cadence number two, and Leah Leanne at number three. Ooh, and that kills me, because she is such a sweet baby cake, and I love the name Leah, but that middle name really spoils it for me. So Leah Leanne is sitting at number three on the Teen Mom baby name game. No matter how I rated the name on that scale, we are still happy to have baby Leah in the world. Happy birthday, Leah. Everyone's so excited to meet you and see you and welcome you to the world. The next few scenes, we see Amber and Gary just kind of getting to know baby Leah when they're still in the hospital. you know, the basic baby 101, as Amber says, learning how to do diapers, swaddling, holding, you know, basic parent stuff. At one point, a nurse is standing by Amber's bed, giving her just a little, you know, mother advice, you know, things that might be different now that she's a mom. No sex, you might be more moody, a little bit more emotional than you used to be. Just things to expect. And while they're having this conversation, Gary's phone rings. And it's Amber's brother, Sean, I assume from Iraq or who knows where. But he's calling to tell Gary to let Amber know that he is going to be home the next day. What great news! What great news! And we know that Amber is going to be stoked about this, and she can hear the phone conversation. It's loud enough for her to hear by her bedside. And she's already just so excited. She's like, really? Tomorrow? And she says, like, you know, I'm going to cry. You know, is this part of the emotional thing that you were talking about? And it's a very happy moment for her. And she's very excited to see her brother. They are shortly released after that and on their way home. Amber is shown getting into the car and her voiceover comments.
I knew delivering my baby would hurt, but I never imagined I'd be in this much pain. They do not teach you this in high school.
Yeah, that is definitely something they don't teach you in school. And I don't understand why. I feel like that really needs to be more well known because so many people might get into it. Maybe not so much these days, but definitely back then. Not expecting the utter damage that does happen when you give birth. And like somebody like Amber, who maybe didn't always work out or partied a lot, wasn't the healthiest, it was probably very hard for her. Somebody like Macy or Farah, who were both very active, we didn't see them have quite so difficult of a time. That said, remember, Macy did not have cameras in the birthing room, but we certainly don't hear them comment about pain. Anyway, we'll say that. Unfortunately, Amber was not quite so lucky. The segment continues on to the next day when Amber's brother is supposed to come home for a visit, and she is very, very excited about it, as I said. But Amber does remind us that Sean, her brother, has not always been the most enthusiastic about her and Gary hooking up. In fact, he was very upset with Gary over it. And Amber is worried that he's going to come in and cause a scene. I feel like I understand her anxiety about it. I would be a little worried too on the off chance that would happen. But me personally, if I had a brother who was coming to visit me 2 days after I gave birth, you better not fucking come in there and start yelling at me and degrading my, you know, baby daddy. I'm not gonna have you around me if that's what's happening. It's just not an adult, mature thing to do. And maybe Amber is expecting it because she perhaps had a tumultuous childhood where unpredictability was common, stability was uncommon. So, hey, maybe in her world, her brother storming in 2 days after she gave birth to his niece saying, I can't believe you slept with my sister. I can't believe you're such a slut or anything like that. The fact that that's even relevant in her mind, it makes me sad for her because me in my position where I am sitting in life right now, I could never imagine anybody, any close person, even if I had siblings, I'm an only child. Even if I had siblings, even my closest friends treating me like that. No, I wouldn't have time for it. You would need to leave. And that would be the solution. And I wouldn't even think twice. It's a good thing Amber doesn't even need to worry about that because Sean comes in for his visit and greets them both very graciously. He's happy to be there. The whole family's gathered at Amber's apartment, so they're happy to have him. He even makes a cute little joke that, what? Amber makes cute babies with Gary? And everybody laughs. It's quite cute, and I'm happy that they could have that moment without too much stress. Of course, we know in teen mom world, the happiness doesn't always last very long. The scene moves on to about 2 weeks later, where we encounter Amber and Gary fighting. We hear Amber's voiceover tell us that it's just become so much for her to have to deal with a new baby, all the bills they have to pay, all the laundry she has to do, all the cleaning she has to do. It's just becoming overwhelming for her. And if we remember in the beginning of the episode, I'm not sure I mentioned this yet, she does say that she does not want to be a mother. She did not want to get pregnant. She did not have plans to have kids. And I think that speaks volumes. It's going to be really difficult adjusting to a life that you never even wanted. You know, usually, even if it's not what you expect, people going into a situation like that have at least had some kind of aspiration or idea of how they wanted it to go, whether it's a baby or a wedding or, you know, a therapy appointment or, you know, whatever other fantastical thing you can possibly think of, that you would have an idea of how it's going to go in your head beforehand. And to never want a life like that and be thrust into it sooner than you were ready for, definitely difficult. So I get it. But we do then see Gary and Amber up in the middle of the night with baby Leah, having an argument over who sleeps more.
We need to get sleep. You need to get sleep. I didn't get to sleep last night.
How many hours of sleep did you get?
4.
Okay, now listen, I do that 4 days in a fucking row.
When I work 40 hours in the weekend, and while you do is stay home and take care of the little one, which I would rather do.
You get more sleep than I do working those 40 hours.
You could be sleeping right now, but you won't argue.
I can't go to sleep right now. You got the light on. You're over here pounding on the baby. She's crying.
Are you crying?
So I'm sensing a little hostility. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just sensing a tiny bit of hostility between these two. I feel like this is an argument they've had 1,000 times, and it's only been 2 weeks since baby Leah was born. And for it to be, I think the clock said maybe 1 in the morning, Amber seems wide awake, so I know she's complaining about not being able to sleep because of the baby, but were you already sleeping? Or, you know, what was actually going on? Because she doesn't sound drowsy at all. She certainly sounds ready to fight. That's for damn sure. It's also a little unnerving to see just how juvenile these two people are. It's a moment where you're like, oh God, these guys are new parents and they're arguing over who's getting more sleep or not. I would just hope, you know, new parents going into it understand it's a team effort. Maybe when you're a teenager, you don't have that same thought process and it's a competition. But these two have to realize it's not about that. It's just about making sure somebody's up for the baby, and you have to make your compromises where you can. Let's see if Amber or Gary are able to do that.
Are you crying? We don't want to want you. You don't have to. I'll do it all.
Tonight. It's not about wanting, Gary. It's about needing to get sleep so I can make it through the weekend.
Okay. My mom will watch her one day.
Does your mom need to watch her when she has a freaking father? Because
you're complaining about watching her, Amber.
I'm not complaining. You are so lucky right now you're holding the baby.
Why, you gonna hit me?
Wow. Okay, so that's chilling. And as I mentioned before, we know what's going on with Amber more recently, and she wasn't quite so forgiving, quote-unquote, so to speak, with Andrew, because he was holding the baby, if I'm not mistaken, when she was coming after him. Here we see Amber having those same irrational thoughts and seeing that this is certainly a pattern. Obviously, this is something that continues and we will touch upon again. I don't like hearing that. Rewatching it honestly kind of strikes a nerve. Obviously, you don't want anybody being hurt physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually in a relationship. But to know, like, I was watching this as a teenager, we were watching this as teenagers, and just like casually seeing this woman threaten to beat this man, like, you're lucky you're holding the baby. Holy shit. Like, it's a little cliche, but can you imagine if the roles were switched? If he said that to her, oh, you're lucky you're holding the baby. It would be off with his head. And I think revisiting this is important because it goes to show us, while it is still very misunderstood that men can be abused in relationships, it was even more misunderstood or unheard of, quote unquote, back then. Unaccepted? The notion was unaccepted. I'm sorry, y'all, I'm high, but I'm trying to fight for your right, for real. Because, like, this, I hate to see it, and we've come a certain degree, we've come a certain length in recognizing abused men in relationships, but we need to keep going. And here's where it starts, with these words right here. She's 17 years old. It starts that early. It starts before then. So don't throw the notion aside. And we're going to see that come up again and again with Amber, unfortunately. Again, completely inexcusable. Amber is shown storming off into the guest bedroom of their apartment. And Gary is shown to pick up Leah, put her in her rocker, not her crib. I hope the baby isn't sleeping in the rocker. It's one of the electric ones that rocks itself, which may be the only kind these days. I'm really not up to date. But he puts her in the rocker and then he goes to bed. Says goodnight, Leah, and that's the end of the segment. So it doesn't go any further than that, but I think that her words are very powerful. And, you know, we need to pay attention to that. Much to my relief, the final segment opens back up on Amber and Gary. And Amber reassures us that things have mellowed out. Thank God. We meet them at about 2 months into Leah's life. So she's about 2 months old here. And oh my God, you guys, she is the cutest fucking baby I've ever seen in my goddamn fucking life. I swear. Like, I'm a fan of babies. Most babies are cute to me. But she's just got the cutest round head and Gary's plump fat cheeks. And I just want to give her a big squeeze. She's so cute. Oh my gosh, but that's where we meet them now, and I'm happy things are cool now. Things are better anyway, according to the narration. But one hiccup, quite literally perhaps, is Leah's breathing. Amber and Gary notice that her breathing is a little labored. She's not quite catching her breath all the way. And it's startling them, you know, their new parents, something's wrong with their little baby. So they give the doctor a call and they have to go see a specialist in Indianapolis so Leah can get a camera up her nose so they can see what might be going on with poor baby Leah and her breathing. Amber and Gary get there, and Amber is being a bit of a pearl clutcher here, if you ask me. I mean, no one likes to see someone they care about have a procedure, a medical procedure done, especially not your own child. But let's be realistic. The procedure is going to be pretty straightforward. They're going to numb Leah's nasal cavity and stick a camera up there so they can see what might be causing the blockage or causing her difficulty breathing. Amber, as they're numbing Leah's nose up, says, "I can't take this," and walks out of the room. I don't hear anybody tell them they can't stay in there, but Amber leaves. Gary follows, as he should, because Amber's upset. But then I see them next going to the waiting room, and they just kind of sit there. This is supposed to be like a 5-minute procedure. I'm sure they could have stayed in the room. I know it's uncomfortable, but I bet it would be nice for your baby to see a familiar face and not these scary doctors up in their face trying to literally shove shit up her nose. I don't know. It seems strange. But thankfully, very quickly, the results came back. They called Amber and Gary in maybe not even 10 minutes after they sat down and said, "Okay, well, here's what we found. Just some cartilage that hadn't fully grown in yet, had not fully developed yet, just blocking her airway temporarily. It's something she would grow out of. Everything's fine." I'm sure they were so glad they had to go see a fucking specialist in Indianapolis to tell them that. But either way, happy that Leah is healthy. We end Amber's episode on a very heartwarming scene, and I'm happy because we needed something palatable after that awful fight that we saw earlier between Amber and Gary. Amber and Gary and Leah are all returning home from her hospital visit, and we see the three of them in the living room, like a nice little family, and Gary actually pulls out his guitar. I don't know if that has been revealed yet, that Gary can play guitar. Be still my beating heart. Oh my goodness. I'm a sucker for a guitar player. I really am, but not Gary. Anyway, we see Gary start to play a song for Leah and Amber. It sounds like one that he wrote, and I'm definitely going to be playing it here in just a second. I am happy that we got to end the episode on this heartwarming scene and listening to Gary kind of pour his heart out through the art of song. Not something I would have expected to hear from him, honestly.
sing to us.
Every constellation in my heart dancing on the river all night.
Snail girl.
I would climb to the moon.
It's a very sweet song, and I think anybody would love to be on the receiving end of that. Amber goes on to recount the last year and a half or so, just how difficult it has been getting to this point, and just how many unanswered questions are left for the two of them. In fact, it almost kind of sets up the scene for Teen Mom to come out. She's like, will Gary and I actually get married? Will we have more kids? Will we be able to make ends meet? Am I just too young for all of this? And you almost want to follow up with, find out on Teen Mom coming in like a year and a half, or however long it took them to create it. Even though there are many unanswered questions about the future, Amber is pretty sure about one thing for Leah.
As long as there's a happy family behind her, she should be a good person when she grows older, you know? I think we're doing pretty good so far, so we'll see how the future turns out.
I would do anything for her.
Completely unrelated, I'd like to take a moment to shout out to Christina, Leah's beautiful stepmother. Wow, you guys, another long one today. Thank you so much for hanging in there with me if you did. At least we know this time we ran long because of the ridiculousness of the situations before us, and not because I identify personally with the main character. So I'm really glad that we did not have to go there. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in to About This Time of Day, a Teen Mom podcast where we are living in 2009 and would like to stay there. You can check us out on Instagram at ATTODpodcast on Instagram, or Twitter with that same handle at ATTODpodcast on Twitter and Instagram. Mostly just weird pictures that I draw of the moms or the grandmoms, or you know, just what I'm smoking for that episode basically is what you're going to find up there. And also you could email at attodpodcast@gmail.com, attodpodcast@gmail.com. And if you haven't checked us out on iHeartRadio yet, you can now, because we are officially on iHeartRadio as well. I mean, hey, maybe that's where you could catch our next episode. Our next episode, we'll be talking about Caitlin. Caitlin and Tyler. I can't wait to get into it with you, and I can't wait to talk to you more then. Well, you know, I feel like we really learned a lot today, you guys. We met Amber, we're gonna see her journey into the Teen Mom world, and we also learned a lot about priorities. And I think to wrap up the show, I'm gonna give you some of my priorities right now. When your best friend is getting married, you have to put your weird Teen Mom podcast on hold for a little bit. Middle names can be just as important as first names. Please see today's Teen Mom Baby Name Game for why that is a reality. Oh, still so disappointed. And number three, if you want to buy weed, always make sure there's a little bit of money left in the bank afterward. And trust me, there's always a little bit of money left in the bank.
No, there's not.
Like $5.
Weed?